And use each of us and the gifts we give to honor your name and to fulfill the gospel of Savior Jesus Christ as we honor you and give these gifts in his name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. You'll turn with me in your Bibles as we look to God's Word today. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're just going to read a few verses from that this morning. We're looking at verses 19 through 25. We invite you to take out your Bible, or as I was reminded in a blog this week, Pastor, be careful you don't offend people. A lot of you are coming in with iPads and things like that now. So break out your iPads or your Bible, or take the Pew Bible in front, turn to page 1105 if you're using the Pew Bible, as we read together from Hebrews chapter 10. It says, therefore, brothers, the idea is brothers and sisters in this passage, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he has inaugurated for us, through the curtain that is his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our meetings, as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's just take a moment and ask God to bless these moments that we share in this word together. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. It, as the psalmist said, is a lamp for our feet. It is a light for our path, how we should walk, how to know you, how to know how it is to walk in a way that will please and we'll be blessed from you. And so we come, we turn our attention. God, help us to let out the cares, the concerns, the challenges, the questions we face, to lay them before your feet right now, to open our hearts, to say, Lord, speak into my life, shape me, mold me, want to be more like you want me to be. Speak to me now, Lord God, through your Spirit, the one who caused these wonderful words to be written. We turn our hearts to you and ask that you'll bless us from your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As I was driving down the road this week, I said, God, I can't believe what I'm looking at. It's not Thanksgiving already, but I noticed that there were already inflatable snowmen out in somebody's yard. I'm like, decorating. To me, my family, it was forbidden for you to decorate before Thanksgiving. Now, did anybody grow up that way? You did not touch something like that until Thanksgiving. But as I looked around, and then I talked with the guy this past week, and he goes, oh, I absolutely love it. He goes, I'm all decorated for Christmas. I went out and got one of those things, that's those sparkle lights. He said, I just went out. He said, I just jammed it in the ground. You can still jam it in the ground. And he goes, and you turn it on, and it just comes on, and it just gives all these wonderful lights that goes all throughout the house. That one little thing, isn't this great? I'm decorated, ready to go. So we're already thinking about Christmas, and I'm sure, thank you, God, after we get past this election on Tuesday. I don't want to watch TV. I don't want to go on social media. I just want to retreat into the fetal position until Tuesday. But then it's going to start. And we're going to start looking at the Christmas stuff. And Christmas, now that I'm a grandparent, it's a whole lot easier than being a parent, because as a parent, you know, you get these toys for the kids, and they look so great. You look in the box, and you bring this box in, and you set it down, and there are two or three words that when Christmas Eve hits, and you come home from Christmas Eve service, and the time has come to get ready for Christmas for your kids, you put them to bed, and now you have to get ready for Christmas morning. There are two or possibly three words that for any parent, particularly any father, are absolutely terrifying. And those words are? Assembly required. Batteries needed, and everything's closed. That's the next one. Yeah, that's next week's sermon. Batteries needed. We'll do that. That's the title for next week. Assembly required today, batteries needed next week. You're like, you gotta be kidding. I mean, it looks really good in the box, and all you do is you pull out, and you start pulling out, and before you know it, the whole floor is full of parts. And then you look at all these screws, and it's like, really? And it says easy to follow directions. Yeah, if you're an engineer. Really? It's like, I'm so glad I'm past that. It's terrible. But, needless to say, for those of you that have that joy this year, you have my blessings. And although I did notice my wife has started buying things and she's sitting here smiling, so it means that there's a good chance that maybe I'm going to get something that says some assembly required. I hope not. But as we look at that, and as I was thinking about that, and I read this passage of scripture this morning, our translation, my favorite translation for this passage, which is so aligned with the actual original of the New Testament, the Greek, the New American Standard Bible, as I give you this little outline highlight this morning, I love how it says, do not forsake our, and they use the words, assembling together. And the writer to the Hebrews has a very interesting thought in mind when he brings this together. Because as he's looking at it, he's telling them that these people who were going through a great deal of persecution in their lives, that if you and I are going to make it in the world that we live in today, he's telling them, and really it's apropos for us today, then we can't miss this opportunity, not just on Sunday, but opportunities that we have throughout the week to come together as a family. And that's really, I think, where we have gotten away over the years, that I find myself, as I study the scripture and more passionate than ever about it, that I realize that God's called us to be a family. We kind of turn this thing into something you run in and you tend and fold out. And there's been less and less of a connection that we have with one another. But he says, this is a family. And that's how he built it, and that's how we need to see it. And families do more than see each other on one day a week, unless we get old about it. Think of that little integral family that we have. We need to see that we need to spend time together. Jesus, when he called his disciples, he didn't call them together and say, guys, I'm sending you out in the world to do my work. Here's the handbook. I want you to read the handbook, and at the end, I'm going to give you a test. And if you pass, I'm going to send you out. But rather, the scripture tells us that he took somewhere in the neighborhood of around 3 years that he gathered them together, and they lived life together. Literally, they ate together. And that's really what we read about this morning when we communed here. If you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is addressing how there were errors, how they were doing it, because they would come together, they were to eat, and they did so regularly. You come to the book of Acts, and you come to chapter 2, and it says the reason the church was growing and flourishing so much is that they were meeting together day to day, eating, worshiping, praying, getting into God's word together day to day, not 1 hour for a week, but they were intertwined in one another's lives, and that's how they were strong and how the church built and grew and their lives were blessed. And capturing that, the writer of the Hebrews really says very clearly, look, we can't forget that. There are people that have gotten into the habit, just like back then, just like today, people got in the habit of missing out, coming together. And what he says, and if there's an operative word that we need to take home today with us, I'll give you one word. It's the word together. We need each other together. And why? Because the first thing I want you to take, and I'm going to cut to the chase very quickly. I'm going to keep this about as tight as I can today. What he's telling us in this passage of Scripture is all throughout the Scripture, begins in Genesis, if you will, chapter 2. What he's saying to them and to us is we were never intended to go it alone as Christians. God creates all that we know. And he came and he created man. And when he made Adam, he looked and he saw. And throughout all of the scripture, he says, he made this, it was good. He made this, it was good. He made this, it was good. And then he makes Adam and he looks. And it says that he saw that man, Adam, was alone. And he said, it is not good. There's something missing in this. And so, he takes every creature, brings it before Adam, but there was only one that would fully complement and fulfill this man. And so he takes from his rib and makes, as we know, woman. And man said, ah, this is it. He realized that there was a special relationship that we need to have with one another. We live in a world today where there's all kind of communication going on. Of course, we've got texts, we got email, we got Facebook. Ever watched kids? You have kids and you call them on the phone? How many of your kids actually answer the phone when you call them on the phone? I got a secret for you. Text them. They're back to you in 15 seconds. I called you on the phone. I called you on the phone. What do you get back? Yeah, I know. On the same vehicle we're using? I've watched kids sit in the same room. Yeah. They just text. So when people are beginning to, counselors are looking at it and say, we live in a world today, we have the vehicle to be more connected than we've ever been in all of our history. And yet, their term is that we are actually, though, becoming less and less personally connected. Understand the difference? Yeah, you can do this, but we're not personally connecting with one another. And they're saying, that's not healthy. No kidding. That's what this book says. We can't go it alone. If you watch it, is it a surprise to you? I love animals. And I love to watch anytime there's a program on with creatures and animals. I absolutely love to watch that. But the ones that are tough are the ones where they're out in the Serengeti, and all of a sudden you have whatever's out there on the Serengeti. But you get that one, obviously you can see in the bushes there's this lion or tiger. And it's just looking, and it's scouring out. And you know what it's looking for? It's looking for that one that's either the youngest, the oldest, the weakest, the wounded. And it's just waiting for that opportunity where it gets separated from the rest of the pack. Because when it gets separated from the rest of the pack, what happens? Pounce. And there's a picture for us with that. That somewhere, sometime, if we are disconnected, we in weakened state can have the devil come in and pounce on us, can trounce our faith, our hope, our energies, sap the joy of life from us. But when we were able to stay together, and what I absolutely love this past week is on Facebook, somebody posted on Facebook of a young elephant, baby elephant, that it just got tired and weary. Right in the middle of a busy highway, it decided to roll over and lay down. Wasn't going anywhere. Of course, there's traffic, they're mentioning on it. And it was so cool because the adult elephant saw this. And they surrounded it and they started nudging it. And the one starts going, literally kind of giving it, like, come on, take the nudge. And ultimately, they nudged it, encouraged it to get it up, get it off its feet, and get off the road. It was awesome. That's the picture that he's trying to tell us that we can't make it around. Oh, look, we need each other in the way that Jesus took his disciples. So don't take this book and go it alone. You and I need to spend time together. There are things you're not going to get that you need somebody to help you understand. Someone who may be deeper in the faith or someone that's gone through that experience. But we can't make it alone. There just are no Lone Ranger Christians. Even the Lone Ranger, yeah, we're talking about the Lone Ranger, but even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. We can't make it alone. What we really need to understand, the second thing, is going alone isn't good for us because God has, ultimately, what he's saying here, God has given us a responsibility. Every one of us as Christians have the responsibility for encouraging and warning one another, the encouraging, the positive, the warning, the negative. Hey, if you're going down a path that is really not good for you, it's our obligation and responsibility as fellow disciples and followers of Jesus to say, hey, you're going the wrong way here. This is not going to end up good. Don't go here. Come on back here. This is not where you want to go. Or encouraging, yeah, I know you're having a tough time. I'm with you. I went through that. And that's really what the scripture is telling us. The word encouraging, really, that word encourage means to put courage in this person, in their Christian walk, and in their Christian faith. It's a wonderful expression. And it's something that we're supposed to do on an ongoing fashion. When the Bible speaks of it, it says it's not something you do once and done. We need to be doing it daily, constantly. That's why, folks, you and I need to come together here. You notice this message is not, and I've preached this passage on many occasions, and I took all those notes that I was looking at, and I threw them out because I realized, you know what that message is? I stood up here on a Sunday morning, and I was throwing guilt trip. I was throwing absolute guilt. How could you? How dare you? I mean, I had illustrations that were kind of trying to shame you when you come to church. When I thought about that, as I was praying about this over the last few weeks, I never saw Jesus shame anybody into going to church. Have you, in the scriptures? He said, hey, this is what it's all about. This is really for your good. And if you miss out, and it's a dual way because it's saying, you know, you need to come because you may be the one that needs encouragement, or it may be that you are the one that's there to be God's source of encouragement. God doesn't choose us to come here just to steal an hour of our week, or if we get involved in Bible studies and fellowships together, it's not stealing a few hours of our other likewise wonderful life. It's saying, look, these are the things that if you are engaged in, God speaks into your life. God brings blessing into your life. God brings people into your life. And that brings meaning. Jesus said, I want you to have life and have an abundance. Yes. Not just in heaven, but here. And that's when we discover many things we don't know that bring abundance and carry us through life. In the scriptures, in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul speaks of it this way. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. And notice what it says, the God of all comfort. Not some comfort, all comfort. If you're ever going to find full comfort, it's found in God. And he said, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions. The first place to go to find hope for our affliction and our struggles is God. But God's got a plan in the work in it. Because it says, he comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort that we which ourselves are comforted by God. You see, he's saying, you and I, we need to be here as Christians so that either directly from God or through someone else, we receive God's comfort in our life. And then as we work our way through that comfort, we find ourselves experiencing the opportunity that God then uses us, like he likely used someone else, to bring about encouragement, courage, comfort, the same way we got it. And you know, they can relate to us because when we've gone through it, just like I had someone not that long ago who came to me and I was not aware of the fact that she had had a stroke. Hadn't seen her for a little bit of time. And she finally said to me, can I talk to you? And I said, well, she said, I had a stroke and I'm going through some issues physically. And I realize that you understand what I'm going through from what you went through with your situation about a couple of years ago. Can I talk to you about it? I'm like, yeah. And we got in my office, we began to talk. And as she asked me questions, then she said, yeah, that's where I'm at. That's what I'm going through. So this isn't off. Like, no, I went through that. Well, what about this? I went through that. Yeah. And this is what's going to come next. And the funny thing is, a couple weeks later, she came in and said, you know this? You said this thing, this was going to come next? That's what came next. I'm getting so encouraged by this. That's why God comforts us as he comforted me, to comfort others, and he'll do the same in your life so that either you're the one comforted or you're the one that does the comforting. It's just a wonderful thing because it's all about love. We come because we love God, but he also wants us to love one another. Families love one another. So What I want to encourage you as followers of Jesus, and if you hear this, these words more and more, I'm all about, because I get into scriptures more and more, I find it, it's this is about following Jesus and being the people that he wants us to be. And part of that is that, yeah, we love him, but that we love one another and we want to spend time with one another, because I'm going to need somebody's help or I can be a help. And to run in and run out, it just doesn't work very well. This morning as I was, I must have woke up at about, I think it was like 4 o'clock, and I was lying there and I just began to pray. I'm praying about the message, and I'm like, I said, God, there's something that's missing here that I need to share. What is it? And within very short order, he brought into my mind a comparison, if you will. When I graduated, graduated high school, I went off to seminary. And it was down in West Philadelphia, a little far, difficult to get back and forth every day. So I went, and I was in seminary, and lived in the dorm. We'd go down Sunday nights, we'd come home late Friday, and be there Saturday, go home Sunday, and get back down Sunday afternoon. And so I lived there. Well, I got involved in seminary, and I began to hear things that were of God from the book, yes, but I didn't necessarily like what I was hearing. Like, that's not the kind of God I had in mind. And it was an interesting thing, because some of the guys, and I thought, yeah, I think I'm going to drop out, because I think these people are kind of kooky. I like my God. And I had some guys took me aside, and they said, oh, by the way, come here. And they did to me like they did to other guys. That day, they took me in our dormitory kitchen. Sometimes we would take guys into the dormitory lounge. And they started with Genesis, and they worked away after 2.5 hours into Revelation. And they said, what do you think? I said, I think you're right. Don't know if I'm comfortable with it, but it's what the God of the Bible is. And they encouraged me, they taught me, they instructed me. And those are some of the greatest 3 years collectively together of my faith life. And I never forget them. Here's the awesome part. I'm friends with most of those guys on Facebook today. Well, we look a whole lot different. Some of us are bigger, grayer, a lot less hair. It's like, wow, we kind of laugh at one another. Then I think of the college experience, because I graduated high school, seminary, I got married, was asked to work at the church full-time, and I went to college full-time. So for me, college was running in, jumping into a class, doing my classwork, and then running back to either the church to do work or spend some time with my wife before I could run back to college and work. And so for me, college was nothing more than running in the door, doing a class, and running out. I had no connection with really any students per se, was in and gone, and I had very little connection with the university itself, in and out. And as I thought about that in that comparison, I thought today, I learned, but I didn't have, I have no connection whatsoever. The only place you see Gwinnett University is on my resume. Outside of that, I just totally lost connection, and I don't think I remember the name of a person I was in class with, let alone on Facebook with. It just didn't have a place and an impact in my life, because it was not where seminary was kind of like what Jesus did with his disciples and said, for 3 years, you're going to hang here with some other guys and you're going to learn. I've been wanting for years to do a doctor of ministry and finish it off. Actually, I started, but they kind of changed things. Instead of just doing it all online, they now wanted you to show up and go to class with some other guys. I'm like, I don't have time for that. I sat there this morning and said, oh. One has a connection relationship that indelibly affects my life. The other, I got a degree from it, but beyond that, not much. I mean, I learned, again, don't want to dissuade that. Don't want to downplay that. But the effect on my life was just extreme from one to the other. And what I want to say to encourage is this. Again, you notice there's no guilt trip here today. I'm not interested in guilt trip. It's encouragement. It's togetherness. It's if we want to truly be all that Jesus wants us to be as his followers, then we need to step back and say, am I really doing and putting myself in a place of living a life that allows him to work in my life and influence me and affect me in the way he wants? Assembling together on a regular, ongoing basis. That, hey, when I miss a Sunday, I missed, but I'm missing too. I'm just saying being encouraged, but I may be the one that's being missed, that God would tap to be the encourager. And the truth is, I can't go at this thing alone. Because the time's going to come when, where do I go when I'm all alone? I had a little tagline at the end for you. It says this. It said, when you're not engaged here. You know, when we give an engagement ring, that signifies we've got something forward going on here, a future, a marriage, a relationship. When you're not engaged here, what's missing in our CH, dash, dash, CH, y'all know what's missing there? You are. You're the one that's missing, and we don't want to miss you. Today is the New York City Marathon. Did you notice that? Great day for that. And if you watch today, you're going to notice that there are going to be people running that are coming to the end of the line, those last mile or two, and they're really struggling. But you'll notice that there are people, friends and others, that just are supporters, don't even know these people that are standing here. They're saying, come on, don't stop, keep going, we're here for you, keep going. There are runners who I've watched who literally have had friends already quit, and they've slowed down and say, stop. The whole thing about this, I'm not going to win any prize, but we're going to finish, and we're going to finish this thing together, and we're going to run this thing. Come on, don't quit, don't quit. Come on, keep going, keep going. And that's what the writer to the Hebrews, when he ends by saying the day is drawing near, it's talking about the day of the Lord when he returns. For some of us, that day will come sooner, because he'll call us home to heaven by death. We close our eyes here, we open up our eyes there. Or it may be that we're alive because he comes back tomorrow. Whatever it may be, every day of our life is a marathon. And that's where we need to be. The word that we said today that starts with a T is together, saying, come on, I need you here. I need to be here. And folks, this is something that I'm preaching to the choir, because you're here probably. So it's my request that you tell others, that you take this message that's going to be online and share with them and say, I need you. But I want you to take just, it's going to take you about a second and a half. I want you to look to the person on each side of you and say, look at them, say, I need you. Do it right now. Other. Jesus came to love us, to care for us, to give us life for us. He wants to breathe his life into us so we can breathe our lives into one another. You know the amazing thing? The Bible tells us that so many people came to faith in the New Testament. And one of the big reasons it talks about as Christians, the biggest influence they had, it wasn't that they had the purest of doctrine or the greatest of programs or mission projects. You know what they saw? You know what the people saw in the early Testament church? They said, oh, how they love one another. What's that all about? Loving one another together. Let's pray. Father, we love because you first love us. It's so important that in your very commands, you would say, the very first command is to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But as the scripture teaches, and the second is like unto it, we're to love one another as we would love ourselves. And truly, if we truly love ourselves, we love one another, because as we speak into others' lives, they speak into ours, and you speak into our life, and we find ourselves truly fulfilled, truly blessed, truly better equipped, because we've encouraged one another to live this life as the day of the return of Jesus draws near. May we hear that word. May we be together. Encourage more and more to come, to be together as we run this wonderful marathon. So like the Apostle Paul, on that great day, we can be saying, we fought the good fight, we finished the course, we have kept the faith, and we look forward to that crown of life, that crown in heaven that we're going to receive from Jesus. And hear those wonderful words, well done, you good and faithful servant. So, Lord, that's our prayer. We want to do it. We want to honor you as we come together as a family in Jesus.